The following message is from New Life Gillette series, The King is Here. This week, Pastor Paul delivers part three of this series.
It is good to be with all of you. I love this season that we're in, and I just love being with all of you. So welcome to all of you in the room, whether this is your first time here, whether you've been here for many times. For those of you online, welcome. It's good to have you with us today. And for those of you over at the prison, it is good to be with you today as well. We find ourselves in this great season of the year. And there's so many different things about this season that I just love. And one of those things my family got to share the other night is driving around town and enjoying the Christmas lights. Does anybody out there enjoy the Christmas lights like I do? You know, I was raised to just be blessed by the Christmas lights. My mom and dad used to get my brother and I in a car, and we'd drive around the countryside of Pennsylvania and see all those special homes. My dad always knew where to go, and my mom was hilarious. She's just one of those old biddies that, you know, we'd come around the corner, and it was like a fireworks show. Ooh, ah! If my mom was still alive, she'd love Pinterest, you know. It's just something about those types of things. But so, you know, I grew to appreciate the Christmas lights, so I've raised my children to appreciate the specialness of how they light up the scenery. And so we were over to the Festival of Lights the other night, and we've driven around town and seen some of those special areas of town. And, you know, something about those lights can mean so much to us this time of the year. And I don't think it's just because, you know, that last night or the night before was the longest night of the year, that it's just dark so long at this time of the year. But there's something more than just that. It's more than just a Pinterest thing. It's more than just an emotional thing. I truly believe it's a spiritual thing. I believe because of the reason for the lights and the reason that we put them up and to celebrate the season, we're going to look more at that as we go into this story that we look at today, there's a spiritual thing that helps us to better understand why we celebrate this time of year. And so I just love the Christmas lights because they help us to celebrate. You know, now for you, I'm not one of those individuals that decorates like somebody else does, like Clark W. Griswold. You know, that's not me. Maybe some of you are. If you do this, I appreciate you and thank you for decorating your house like that, but that's not me. But I love the lights. And so as we look into this season, you know, we're celebrating the baby that came. Not just the baby, but more importantly, the king. That's what we're celebrating here at New Life. We're celebrating that a king came 2,000 years ago, and we're trying to figure out in the midst of understanding that it wasn't just a baby in a manger, but instead it was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that came 2,000 years ago. What does that still have to offer to us today? What does that have to share with us today? You know, because it shared a lot with those people back then. Well, what's still in it for us today? And so for the weeks of December, we're looking at this topic of the king offers. And for the first 2 weeks, Pastor Mike shared this. He shared the king offers purpose and the king offers peace. Now, if you weren't here one of those 2 weeks, I encourage you, jump online and listen to those two sermons. Because truthfully, if we just ended there with those two sermons, wow, we would have something special. Because those are two powerful things in our life that we are all looking for, purpose and peace that transcends understanding. So I encourage you, listen to those. Today, we're going to look at another idea, though. We're going to keep going on. We're going to look at this idea of how the king offers us hope. And how powerfully important is that in this world that we live in? The understanding of hope. And then next week, if anybody's able to be back here next week on the 30th, Pastor Mike is going to finish it out by looking at a powerful word that the king offers us eternal life. It's not just an Easter thing. It's a Christmas thing that we need to celebrate the eternal gift that God gives to us. And so, but today, with us looking at this idea that the king offers us hope, I have a powerful question for us to consider then. And the question is this: how important is hope? Have you ever thought about that? Is hope important to you? Is it something that we need in life? You know, you think about some of the different areas of life that we need it. Now, one silly one, of course, that we can think too is, if you're a sports fan, how important is hope? You know, it's very important. Anytime you're getting ready to start a new season, you have hope. You know, I was sitting with a Denver Broncos fan the other day, right after they had lost their last loss, and I said, "How are you doing?" He says, "Truthfully, I'm doing good." I said, "Why are you doing okay?" He says, "Because this means we're going to get a better draft pick." Yeah, he's already looking forward to next year. Already thinking, "I can't wait. We're going to get better players. We're going to have a better team." And so he is already hoping of what next year will look like. You see, and that's what hope is. Hope is that which takes a look at where we are, whatever we might be dealing with, whatever our situation might be, and helps us look from where we are to where we could be, and that being a better place. You know, it takes us from an area of darkness in towards an area of light. And darkness can be many different things in the midst of our journey. You know, darkness can be, you know, things like having a financial distress situation, or maybe it's, you know, dealing with broken relationships that you don't know how to get through those relationships. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's that you're in just a severe state of loneliness because of things that are going on. You know, darkness can show itself in so many different ways in the midst of our lives. And, you know, why are we talking about Christmas lights being important? Because darkness can be changed by light. You know, and that's the thing, you know, as we talk about hope, hope can transform those brokenness, those dark areas of our lives and change them, like looking at a broken relationship or a broken marriage and seeing that there's the potential for things of being better. Or looking at someone who is in financial struggles and realizing that if I change how I do certain things, that there is hope that things can get better. Or looking at a person who is lonely and just longing for something different, to be able to look into a place, a situation, and see that there is a place where maybe I can find better relationships or maybe friendships to help me on my journey. How important is hope? Hope is something that can change and transform the darkness into light. Which is why we're going to look at the first text we're going to look at today, which is part of the season that we're in, is a powerful text spoken several hundred years before Jesus came on that first Christmas night. And the prophet Isaiah, when he spoke this text, he was sharing it with a group of people who were truly in the midst of a dark situation. They were broken, they were bruised by what they were dealing with in life. There was another country that had beaten up on them some and split up their families. Financially, they were just a mess, and they were lonely. And on top of everything else, they felt like God was not with them. God loved them, was wanting to be there for them, but because of how they were living their lives, they had walked away from God. And so they were feeling separated from God. And so in the midst of that darkness and that struggle, here's God looking down at these people that he is hurting for because they are broken and lost and alone. And God then, through the prophet Isaiah, shares this passage of hope, shares this text. And it starts off like this. It says this, "Nevertheless," in Isaiah chapter 9, "nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever." Do you hear that word of hope in this, in the midst of that very first verse? Things are going to change. Yes, he acknowledges that what's going on in your lives are broken. It is dark. It is bruised. But things are going to change. The despair will not go on forever. Why? Let's continue and see why this happens. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. There's that darkness, that brokenness, that they were humbled. But... oh, sometimes there's buts that are really good. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. Now, if you don't know your biblical geography very good, you're probably scratching your head and wondering, what in the world is this really sharing with us, and where is this hope in the midst of this passage? Well, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, that was the northern part of Israel where they were battered and bruised. They were really a hurting people and broken, and they were longing, God, is there any hope for us? And in the midst of that, Isaiah points them towards a time in the future where there was going to be some glory, God's glory. Guess when that was? You see, Jesus, when he was an adult, one of the primary areas that he was walking around and doing his ministry and preaching his word and healing people and caring for people was in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, that area of Galilee. And so Isaiah is pointing them hundreds of years later when Jesus was going to be doing his thing, when God was going to be moving in the area. Isaiah points them towards hope. And he shares this understanding for this people in darkness. He continues on. He says this, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light." That's why we love Christmas lights. Here it comes. "For those who live in the land of deep darkness." A light will shine. Isaiah helps them to see the importance of us clinging to God, that God has a message of hope for us. But what was this message? What was going to be shining that light into the midst of the darkness? Isaiah continues, jump to verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. Isaiah, to this darkened world, to this group of people that were hurting and wondering, where is the hope? Isaiah points them and us to Christmas. When a baby, no, not just a baby, but a king was going to be born. Towards Jesus being shared with the people both back then and with us. The king would come. And what was the king going to come to offer in the midst of this dark world? The king comes to offer hope. Hope. Light in the darkness. Life could be better. No! Not life could be better. Life would be better for anyone and everyone who would receive what the king comes to offer. Now, here's one of the problems. Again, Isaiah wrote this text a long time before Jesus would eventually be born. And for what we need to realize that we in this generation, what we're not good at, we're not good at waiting, right? You know, you think about it, you know, we jump on these things and we log on to something. We expect that website to pump up instantly, don't we? Do any of you remember dial-up internet? Do you remember? Man, you jump on your computer and you just twiddle your thumbs, waiting 20 seconds sometimes for that thing. I mean, if that happened on our phones today, we'd chuck these things down and move on to another one. We are not good at waiting. Or worse yet, if you put a Christmas present under the tree in front of a five-year-old and say, let's wait a day, oh, and they start twitching because they just can't wait. They want that instant gratification. Isaiah shares this message of hope with the people, and then he says, now wait. And long for it. Want it so badly so that when it comes, oh, the celebration it will be. You know, we come here to this message of hope. We come to Christmas and we celebrate because Isaiah has pointed us towards that Christmas where we might be able to experience that hope. So fast forward. We get to do that. They didn't back then, but we get to fast forward. It's the first Christmas morning. Joseph and Mary have made their trek to Bethlehem. They find themselves there in the manger scene, and they have their baby, and they place Jesus in the manger. Then on the outskirts of town, all of a sudden it happens. You see, Isaiah, many years before, was the first one. He announced that the baby was going to be coming. Now the angels, they announce he did come. We got to read some of that story, or maybe have someone read it for us. Let's have someone who's one of the most famous readers of the gospel message, share that story with us. Let's listen up.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Since 1965, I love that text. No, I wasn't living at that time, but you just think about that. Since then, though, every year at Christmas, millions of people get to hear Charlie Brown ask the question, what is Christmas all about? And Linus says, that's what it's all about. What a powerful story. Those angels out sharing the message with the shepherd. And so we have to ask the question, what is it in the midst of this story that we love, that we come to every year? What's in the midst of it that we can find that the king offers us hope? Well, the very first line that Linus shared with us shared one of those powerful words of where hope comes from in the midst of this story. And it goes like this. That night, there were shepherds. Stop right there. That's hope right there. Now, you might be thinking, where's the hope in the midst of that? Well, we need to think about who were those shepherds that this message all of a sudden came to. For a lot of us, when we hear the story of the shepherds in the midst of the scenery, you know, we have these different images in our mind of what the shepherds look like. And, you know, sometimes it's looked like this in our nativity scenes, you know, cute and everything. Or maybe it's from when our children did one of those little Christmas pageants and they dressed up in a cute little shepherd costume and we think, aww. But back then, if anybody knows the customs of that time period, who the angels brought that message to with those shepherds out in the field, those shepherds were anything but cute. These were the ones who were the outcasts in the midst of society. The shepherds were the ones that you didn't ask your child early in life and say, what do you want to grow up to be? And they were going to say, a shepherd. No, just the opposite. The shepherds were the ones that the people did not want coming into town, did not want them coming into the marketplace, did not want them coming in, because these were the brokenhearted. These were the ones that they wanted to keep away. They didn't smell that good. They weren't dressed that good. They were not the popular people. They weren't the powerful people of the community. They were ones that a lot of people were more intentional picking out their flaws than they were recognizing and realizing that they were children of God. And so because of that, a lot of times these shepherds felt alone. They felt not wanted. They felt, do I even matter in this life? Would anybody even notice if I wasn't here? The fact that the angels looked at the shepherds and said, this message is for you. What is that saying to the shepherds? But it's the same message that Jesus had shared all along. It's the message of come as you are. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, how you look, how you smell, but God shares this message with the shepherds, come as you are. I got a special message for you. You see, it's the same message that Jesus shares over and over with people throughout the life. That's why we share that same message here at New Life. Come as you are and become who you're created to be. Because God looks at each and every one of us, doesn't matter who we are, where we've been, what we've been about. God says, come as you are. Jesus, as he grew to be adult, it's the same message he shared with people over and over again. The leper, he had a sickness, an illness that made him look different than others. And people said, you stay away from us. But Jesus looks at him and says, come as you are. The woman at the well, a woman who was battered and bruised by many men in her life, the people said, stay away. Jesus says, come as you are. The tax collectors, Matthew and Zacchaeus, the world says, you're sinful. Jesus says, no, come as you are. Nicodemus was a man who came to Jesus at night because he didn't think he deserved to be near Jesus. He thought, Jesus, you don't want to hang out with me because I got all these questions. I don't fully get God. I had a guy like that in my office not too long ago. He says, Pastor Paul, you don't want me here probably because I have all these questions about God. I don't get God. You probably surely don't want me in a Sunday morning. I said, are you kidding me? Jesus says, come as you are. The fact that the shepherds were the ones who the angels brought the message to is the same message that God shares with each and every one of us. And it's a message of come as you are. Each of those people who encountered Jesus, Jesus demonstrated that heart of come as you are because he wanted them to come to him because he had an even bigger message that each and every one of them needed to hear. It's a message that Mike and I feel the same way. Every single week we share this message over and over because we believe it's a message that every one of us needs to hear. You know what it is? It's this. Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life. Usually when you hear that, you're making a beeline to get to lunch before someone else gets there. This time, I'm not letting you get away. We need to ponder this and realize how powerfully important this message is to each and every one of us. We need to hear this message and allow God to write it on our heart because it can change our lives. That's why I have a First Life Work for you. some homework to do at home that's going to help you in your life with Christ. And it goes like this. I want you to make a list of 10 ways that God shows you that you are loved. And if you want to do it every day, but I want you to come up with a top 10 list. What are those top 10 reasons that you just know it, that Jesus loves you unconditionally? And if you want to do something crazy with it, when you got it all figured out, and you know, these are 10 ways that I'm just so blessed, put it online. Put it on your Facebook page. Better yet, put it onto our New Life group page so that we can share it with each other and help everybody know this is how I know that Jesus loves me unconditionally and he died to give me new life. It's a word that we all need to have deeply in our hearts and our lives to remember it over and over again. God sent the angels to, yes, the shepherds, people who no one else wanted to be near, but Jesus says, come as you are, and I have a hope-filled message for you. Well, what was that message that the angels shared with the shepherds? It kind of went like this. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the King, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. The shepherds were surely saying, well, that's the news that we've been waiting for. For hundreds of years, our people have been longing and waiting for this news. And finally, here's the news. It is shared, yes, shepherds, with you. Again, it's not just the message, but it's the people who the message was shared with. It's a powerful word that lets each and every one of us know, no matter who we are in life, that this message is for us. Now, here's the cool thing. They didn't just share the message with them. They didn't just say, here's some good news, but it went a next step. You want to hear what the next step was? And you will recognize him. You see where this is going? You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Do you realize what that is saying, what the angels are sharing with the shepherds? They're not just saying, here's some good news for you, but instead they're saying this. You will find. You get to experience it. You get to go check it out. For instance, as a pastor over the course of my life, I've had many opportunities where I've heard the news that a baby had been born in the midst of my church life. And one of the joys that a lot of times that we as pastors will get to go to the hospital and visit that newborn child. Now, this is one of the aspects of me being a pastor that my wife does not like because she's jealous, because she likes babies. Too much sometimes, I think. That's why I have four. But she loves the idea of seeing a baby and holding that baby. So, you know, what if I've learned over the time, if I can invite her to come along with me, oh, that she's special. And so sometimes I'll call her up like, Ellie, Karen, Ellie had her baby. And my wife will say, well, what's its name? How long? Sweetie, it's a baby. That's all I care about. I don't know. I'm a dude. I don't have to know those things. But if I just let my wife rest with, honey, there's a baby that was born. She's going to be excited to hear that. But what if I then say, Ellie's in room 134 at the hospital. The baby's there with her. Why don't you go see them? Can you hear the angels singing? That's my wife, man. I get to go hold a baby? Man, she just gets stoked because she's not just hearing the news, she's getting to experience the news. The shepherds weren't just told a baby has been born and it's the king. Instead, they were told the baby is there for you to go check them out. Go spend some time with the mom and the dad and see this newborn king, experience it. And how much better is it to experience something rather than just hearing it? That's why I have another life work for you. Another thing for you to do this week to help you to experience this special Christmas story at another level. And here's what I want you to do. This week, I want you to read the entire Gospel of Luke. Don't just read chapters 1 and 2, which is the Christmas story, but instead, I want you to read all 20-something chapters. I want you to see all that Jesus did, how Jesus encountered different people, and place yourself in the story. When Jesus is teaching someone or healing somebody, pretend it's you so that you can better experience how Jesus loves you unconditionally and how he died to give you new life. Now, some of you might be saying, Pastor Paul, I don't have a Bible. I don't have one of those things. So, I can get it online, but here I have a Christmas gift for you. After the first service, we gave 7 of them away already. I want you, if you don't have a Bible, go out to the information center out there, and the ladies are going to be out there, and they're going to have Bibles to give you for Christmas so that you can go home and do your life work, so you can spend time experiencing. We love giving the Word of God out here. So I want you to go out and grab yourself a Bible so that you can spend some time in the Gospel of Luke this week and experience the presence of Christ in the midst of your life. I don't want you to just hear the good news. I want you to experience it by spending time with Jesus. And because it didn't end there, because the shepherds, they got to experience it. It goes on. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby, the king, lying in the manger. They were so blessed. Can you imagine getting to go and experience that special moment? The people have been waiting for this for hundreds of years. It finally came and they got to go and experience it. But now what? You know, what do you do with this news, with this experience that you got to share? Well, what happens? Well, you think about that for a second. Let me just give you, for instance, what if you went to a Christmas party? Many of us have gone to a Christmas party, and as you go in, the hostess with the mostest comes to you and offers you a huge tray of Christmas cookies. Peanut blossoms, ice sugar cookies, throw in a little bit of fudge. Can you just smell them? And you're given, and she says to you, "Do with them whatever you want." Ready for the angels to start singing again? So you have a choice. You know, you can go over into the corner, sit down, and just start devouring them one after another after another. And that would be good. You're going to have a bellyache later on from it, but then, you know, it's still in that moment. Oh, how wonderful it'd be. Or could it be better if you stood up and you began walking to the other people in the room and saying, "I'd like to bless you. Have a cookie. I'll share one with you. Let me just eat one together with it." And as you start to build relationships, you care about each other and you share the blessings of what you have been given with the others. The shepherds had an opportunity. You know, after they experience what they experience, what do they do then? It says this: after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. They were blown away by what they got to share, by what they got to experience. First of all, the shepherds are running around, but yet they're the ones sharing this story. The people were blown away. The shepherds took what they had received and they shared it with another. You know, what if we did some of that with our own? As we receive this gift, this good news that we receive, what if we began to share it with others? I did something like this. I shared this at Christmas at the movies the other night, but I wanted to share it again. It's a special story with me. It was on Thanksgiving Day, and Daniel and I had a special moment. Truthfully, we had to do it because Karen was trying to get our Thanksgiving meal together, and it wasn't going because Daniel wanted to help cook the meal. So I took Daniel to Walmart to help get those last-minute things that Mommy needed, wink, wink. And so Daniel and I went, we had fun, we played with toys for a while in the aisle, and we got the things we needed, and then we coming up to the register, and I said, "Daniel, how would you like to give a little present to somebody?" And his eyes lit up with my five-year-old. He was so excited. And I grabbed a Starbucks card, and he said, "What are we going to do, Daddy?" I said, "When we go up to the cashier to check out our stuff, I want you to hand this to her and tell her Happy Thanksgiving." He was stoked. He couldn't wait. We got in line, so people were behind us, and someone was in front of us, and they were having one of those price check moments, and so we had to be patient and wait. Daniel wasn't good at that. You know, he's sitting there holding the card, and he started saying things like, "We have something for you. You're going to love it." And the people behind, they started catching on of what Daniel was going to do. Well, the lady that was checking out the people in front of us, she was just focused because of the situation that was going on, and so she wasn't paying attention. So Daniel just kept saying it. Fine, it was our turn. We get up there, and she started scanning it through, and he just kept saying little hints. "Oh, we're just so happy to share this with you. You're going to love it." And she was just stressed because of the day of being at Walmart on Thanksgiving Day. And finally, she took the card, and she swiped it, and she said, "Would you like this in your bag?" Daniel grabs it and says, "No! This is for you. Happy Thanksgiving." And she looked at me like, "Is he serious?" "Yeah, I'm serious." And you can just imagine that moment In the midst of the darkness of the day that she had of working on Walmart on Thanksgiving and just the struggle, all of a sudden here's a 5-year-old boy sharing a gift. She was blessed. The people behind, it was just a wonderful moment of sharing that with my son. You know, the cool thing for me is that after I shared that story at the movies, that it didn't stop there. Because someone heard me share that story, and he comes back a couple days later and says, Pastor Paul, I did what you did. I went and I got a gift card and I put it in my pocket, and I said, told myself, the very first person who says Merry Christmas to me, I'm going to give them this card. And it was about 20 minutes later, all of a sudden, that someone came up to him and said, Merry Christmas, and he was so excited, he ripped the card out and handed it to her and said, Merry Christmas to you. Now you can go and share Christmas with someone else too. Those are blessed stories to be able to share what we receive with someone else. Someone else did the same thing. After, you know, this guy and his daughter, they went up to Menards and they were looking at things and they saw the little beanies on sale, you know, like little ski hats on sale in the store there. And so the guy says, want to get some hats? She goes, yeah, how many? He says, let's buy the whole case of them. They bought 24 beanies. She said, Daddy, what are we going to do? They went up to the Council Community Services and just started handing them out to people who might be out on the street in the cold, and just sharing Christmas with them. You see, when we receive something as good as we receive, which is the good news that Jesus Christ loves us unconditionally and he died to give us life, it's not something that we can hold on to ourselves, but instead we need to be able to share it with someone else. And so here's your next life work. So with what you received, share hope, the hope that Jesus shares with you by serving others. You know, whether you call up Darcy and say, Darcy, I want to volunteer in Kid Zone and get down on the floor and care about a little baby. Or call up Anna and say, Anna, I want to open the doors and tell people that Jesus loves them as they're coming in the doors. Or maybe in your workplace or in your home or at the council. Find that place and take that hope that you receive by having Jesus in your life and be willing to just go and share it with others and realizing in the midst of that how you can get blessed. The shepherds were so blown away with the hope that they could not keep it to themselves, and they had to share it with others. But the story doesn't even end there. The shepherds were not done yet, but instead, what do? It says this, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying God and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angels had told them. What do the shepherds do? They go back to life. They go back to being a shepherds. They're praising God and celebrating the goodness of God in the midst of their lives, but they don't stop living. They keep going on because now they have this message of hope in their lives. They've experienced the presence of Christ in their lives, and they take that back into the field. Society probably still looks at them the way they do. They're probably still smelling like sheep in the midst of their day, but now, in the midst of their community of them and the other shepherds, they now have hope and they share it together. Why is this important? Why is this important to us that we need to take this hope that we have and go on living? It was about a month ago, maybe about a month and a half ago, where I did a funeral. And you might say, well, what's the big deal? You're a pastor, you do funerals, and I get that. But this one was a little bit different for me because it was one of our recent suicides that we've had here in Gillette. A sweet 16-year-old girl. I didn't get it. She had parents that love her. Sisters that adore her. Aunts, uncles, grandparents. Looking from the outside in, but for some reason, for whatever the reason was, in those last moments, this sweet girl thought dying was better than living. Why is this story so important, people? Why is the hope of this story so important? Because for each and every one of us here, no matter what we're facing, no matter what darkness we might have experienced, we need to hear this message over and over and over again. What is that message? Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life. This is a message that if we allow God to write it on our hearts and we take that message and do like the shepherds did, which is go back into life in the midst of a community of faith and share that message with each other, living with each other, and sharing it ongoing, it changes our lives. Teenagers, if you are in this room, hear me. Teenagers, I don't want to do any more of those. Ever. Ever. Teenagers, you need to hear this message and hear it deeply. Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life. And not just that, but I want you to hear this message, and then every Wednesday evening as we go into the new year, when New Life Youth starts meeting back up, teenagers, get there. Wednesday evenings, because you can't do that alone. You need to get together with others who are on the same journey as teenagers, trying to figure out what this thing called life, how it works, how it goes. And you need to get together and learn that understanding, that truth together, that Jesus loves you no matter what. Adults, you need to hear this message. And so because you need to hear it, you can't just come here to Sunday morning once in a blue moon or whenever it fits your schedule the best. But instead, this is a message that we need to hear every single week. And you will if you come here amongst other people and receive it together. And then, adults, once we get into the new year, get in a life group. Because it's there where we live together, we share together. If you're not, you're missing out on one of the greatest opportunities for hope that we can have that can take us from the darkness of life and allow light to shine into our lives that we might live differently. This story is for you today. God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, have you sitting here today because you needed to hear this message. That no matter what we're dealing with in life, and I know that a lot of you are dealing with a lot of stuff, in the midst of our darkness, the Christmas lights shine into it because they are celebrating the light of the world. That's Jesus the Christ. If you want to know that hope that he offers, keep coming. Don't stop. This message is for you. Let us pray. God, for all of those families that are hurting this day, that are finding themselves in the midst of a dark time, Lord Jesus, may your message to each and every one of them, first message, come as you are, that every single one of us are welcomed with you, Lord Jesus, so that we can hear your message for all of us. You love us, and you are willing to give up everything for us. May the story of this season overwhelm us by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we might better know what those Christmas lights are all about. They're about you. We pray these things in your name. And all God's people said.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.